As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look for innovators that have set out to reshape entire industries. Today, we're going to talk about the resurgent real estate market and some innovative techniques to boost your home sales. Joining me in studio is one of Illinois' top-performing real estate brokers, Michael Lafito. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get into all the fun real estate talk, which, you know, this is going to be an interesting show for me on multiple fronts, yourself included, I'm sure. First, I used to work in real estate for, you know, almost 5 years, so it's kind of like whenever I get to play in real estate again, I'm like, little bit of giddiness because I actually know something about it. And then the other thing that's really cool is you were my freshman PE teacher.
Yes, I was a former teacher.
You were a former teacher. You were my professor. You were the professor of.
I was a professor of.
Professor of PE.
That's right.
I never forget it. I still talk to some of the kids in that class, John Gordolucci and a few others, about the crunchies. We didn't want to do
good abs, man.
You got to have good abs.
10, 15 years later, you'd still be thinking of me.
I never forgot it. I absolutely never forgot it. So I guess what that begs is, let's get into your background a little bit. Journey from playing college football, right?
Yeah, played college football.
College football, coach, teacher, part-time real estate broker at the time.
Correct.
And now you're absolutely killing it as a broker. Walk us through sort of your journey into this.
Sure. So graduated late 90s from Northern Michigan and got into real estate as part-time agent and was very successful at it. So my wife and I had one kid and one on the way, and something had to go. And I was so passionate about real estate and my business was really crushing it at the time that it was a pretty easy transition for me, decision, I should say. And so end of 2009, 2010, I stepped away from being a part-time agent, if you will, and just devoted my sole interest and my sole time towards that. In 2007, when I was a part-time agent, I was the second biggest producer for the entire Midwest for realty executives at the time. And so I naturally had a lot of full-time people, successful veterans, if you will, saying, hey, how are you doing it? And that kind of launched my consulting business and my speaking business as well.
So I think what's really interesting and what I like about what you've been doing is, you know, I was working in real estate, you know, the same time frame, was in commercial real estate at the time, in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10. As we got to the 9, 10 part, things, you know, took a little bit of a downward
imploded.
Turn. Imploded, if you want to go all the way with it. For some people, it was devastating. I mean, it was devastating for a lot of people, but for realtor people, it was devastating. Some people completely belly up and they're out of the game. And some people never really came back or, you know, it just has been a struggle. They lost themselves. They lost their confidence, et cetera. But there are other people like yourself and myself that I think looked at it as an opportunity. And it was a challenge, surely, of course. But there are, with challenges comes really new ways of thinking and new ways of doing things. And I think you came out of that having pushed through this challenge with a whole new way of selling homes and more than selling them, marketing them and getting the true value for them.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a thinning of the herd, if you will. Probably about 30-35% of real estate agents got out of the industry, and that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of part-time agents in the industry, people that, you know, I call them part-time patties or Debbie Dinosaurs, or, you know, they get into it because they watch HETV, and, you know, everyone thinks that they're an expert in real estate because maybe they bought or sold a couple homes or they watch HETV, and so that's kind of a curse as well, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when I'm dealing with sellers that they feel like they're the smartest people in the room, but they don't know what actually sells properties, right? So it doesn't matter the way you and I live in our home. What matters is, you know, what today's buyers are looking for in a house. So, again, sometimes people know just enough to be a little dangerous where they feel like you know, they're smarter than their own agent.
I can tell you, we could have that conversation on just about every topic we've ever had on this show, because there's certainly something to knowing just enough to be dangerous, but not enough to be effective. There's numerous parts to how you sell homes, you know, and I think that's the important thing here is you look at, I guess, why don't you walk us through a little bit, like I want to put a house up for sale. Walk me through how this works.
Sure. So a lot of real estate agents have a scarcity mindset. They want to sign the paperwork and get the house on the market. We're very proactive, and we take our time to get the property marketed before we even go to the market, positioned properly. So there's a lot of things that need to take place before going on the market. One important statistic to remember is 10% of buyers can visualize. That means 90% only see the property as it is. So that's why when you're driving down the road and you see those ugly yellow signs that say, we buy ugly houses, the reason is they can see past the overgrown bushes and the curb appeal and that pink wallpaper and the brass fixtures. But the majority, you know, 90% of buyers can't. So you have to do the things that most of your competition isn't. And it, real estate comes down to supply and demand. And if you're in a seller's market, you could probably get away with those overgrown bushes and the pink wallpaper and still get offers. But in the Chicagoland market, you know, we're still in a buyer's market in most price points in most areas. And when you're in a buyer's market, you got to be willing to do the things your competition isn't. For example, I'm marketing a property in River Forest. It's the second highest priced home in River Forest, $3,495,000. It took us almost 3 months to get the house ready to put on the market. They did some landscaping. They cut trees down. They did painting. They did neutralizing. They sanded floors. Sometimes that doesn't need to be done. Sometimes it's just a shoestring budget or a $0 budget, and it could take a few weeks. But that's the exception to the rule. It actually took a long time. So we're willing to do the things, and our clients are willing to do the things that it takes to get the property sold. There's many real estate agents out there that will tell a seller what they want to hear to get the book of business. Oh, Scott, I love your pink wallpaper. Oh, man, this is beautiful. I love your oriental rugs that are covering up the beautiful hardwood floors. Or, oh, don't worry about the landscaping. Or don't do anything. That last agent you interviewed, they were nuts. I can sell it. Matter of fact, let's raise the price. Again, the two oldest tricks are tell someone what they want to hear or tell them an inflated price to get the book of business. And that's not right. It's not ethical. And I don't do it. So I pride myself on, you know, telling people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And I turn down more clients than I take because of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is kind of creepy because the first thing is you actually must have been in my house because first, we have a pink bathroom first. Second, which I don't want to get into it. Second, oriental rugs are everywhere. So
yeah.
I guess maybe I have a little bit of
so again, the busy mind, the confused mind doesn't buy. And so when people are 90%, 95%, whatever the statistic is, they're starting online. They're searching in their underwear on their iPad or on their iPhone. And so if the pictures don't look good, not just the quality of pictures, but what's in the pictures. So the way you live in your home, the way I live in our home, that's to our own personal decorating. When selling, you have to be, you have to appeal to the masses. Yep. Today's buyers, they don't like brass. They don't like wallpaper. They like that restoration hardware, pottery barn look and feel. That, yes, absolutely.
Well, I guess, you know, why don't we wrap into something else here I think is kind of interesting is I have noticed with, I mean, this is in everything. This is commercial real estate. This is residential real estate. Is that generally people don't think outside of the box. They don't think, you would think they would think of flip it or flop or flip or flop, whatever the HGTV.
Flip or flop,
I kind of like the show. You would think that they would think of things like that.
Love it or list it, whatever.
To like think, to have more creativity, more vision in what they're seeing. But what the problem I'm seeing is a lot of brokers, and this is not you, you're sort of the exact opposite in this case, will try to tell you how to sell the house by either adjusting the price up or down. They have a couple little listing techniques that they might do. They, you know, go to their friends or their son or daughter on Facebook and try to like push it out or whatever. And it's when you see a person who will come in and say, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. You need to make a couple changes. This might cost you $50,000, $100,000 maybe in changes that need to be done to your house, but that will increase your value by $60,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or maybe just get you to be able to even sell it in the price range that you're trying to in the first place. Versus, well, it was a $3 million house in River Forest, you said, correct? And it has a couple of things that it needs to have done to it. Why don't we just charge, you know, like $285 or $2.85?
Right.
That doesn't help me out at all. I have a $3 million home. I want to sell the
home. Well, not only that is now you're at $2.85 and a buyer is still going to have those same objections. Yeah. So they're going to negotiate off at $285 and you're going to end up with $2.3 or $2.2. So you bring up a good point. And so, again, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It's what the market research tells us. Okay. So I take my personal thoughts out of it and I base it on market research. So it's really important when selling and when buying. And you got to take the time to do the things. I use a car metaphor. If you were selling your car, you'd take it to Turtle Wax, get it cleaned, buffed, shampooed out, reupholstered maybe. If it was going to get you more money on a trade-in through CarMax, then why the heck wouldn't you do it for a $300,000 home, million, $2 million, whatever the price point is? You got to do the things that your competition isn't doing.
You know, another thing you brought up there, it's, I guess, you're 100% right. I mean, people don't take that extra step sometimes. And it's funny that they don't do that in the most obvious and, in a lot of cases, their largest asset that they own. And they're not taking the time.
Well, they don't do it because they don't know any better. It's not their fault. And again, 82% of realtors, according to a recent statistic, are 45 years old and older. So if you have a if you have an older client, an older seller, and they have wallpaper all over with brass, well, and you have a 70-year-old realtor, she likes that wallpaper and brass, but she doesn't understand what today's buyers are. Yeah. So she's not articulating that message effectively. I use before and after pictures all the time because we are visual.
Yeah.
So you got to show them. You know, I'm selling a property in Hinsdale, Illinois. It's $4.75 million. It's a beautiful French country. It's amazing, but it's got that French country look. It's got a lot of florals, a lot of yellows, a lot of blues. We brought in staging for $6,000. We gave it a transformational look. And again, $6,000 on a 4.75, their first price change is going to probably be at least $100,000. So make the investment. Do the things that your competition isn't willing to do.
Well, I'm afraid I think the one problem that really goes on ultimately is, and this happens in a lot of businesses, it's, you know, a lot of lawyer businesses, a lot of accounting practices, is that ultimately when I hire my broker, I assume, or my real estate agent, I assume that they know best. And it, especially if it was a friend's referral, which most of the time it is a friend's referral, and that they're not out looking for a person like Michael Lafito who knows the market and knows these things and is willing to do the extra things and willing to do something that's never been done before to sell this house, because that's my job, to sell this house.
The first rule of thumb in marketing is to make a product stand above the competition. Get attention, right? So in case of real estate, we need to stand above the competition down the street in the community. You don't know where the buyer's coming from. 40% of buyers in the Chicagoland market are relocating outside the area. So you need to accentuate the best features of the home, downplay the least favorable, as well as the location, 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 not just about the particular location of the house, but the amenities, the town, the lifestyle. Yeah. Lifestyle marketing, which I talk about in the book Marketing Luxury, is really important. That's not going away. There was a statistic that Redfin put out there in September of 2015 that talked about 53% of potential buyers bought a property sight unseen. Now, in Chicagoland, that might be 1%.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was specifically to California, but the point is if the property is packaged properly through amazing pictures, descriptions,
sure,
videos, only 2% of realtors are utilizing video. I've been offered different producing opportunities for some of these lifestyle videos where we bring in actors, actresses, drones, cars.
I've seen them. They're great.
You've seen them. We're doing some amazing things because that's what captures the property. I did a video for a property in West Chicago. At the time, there hadn't been a sale in West Chicago above $650,000 in 3 years. I listed this home for $798,000. On the 39th day, I got an offer. I asked the buyer's agent, hey, did your buyer happen to see the video we did? We brought in actors, actresses. It backs up to the fifth tee box on St. Andrews Golf Course. She said, Mike, my buyer lives in West Chicago. He wants to get the heck out of here. He saw your video, contacted me, say, I need to go see this house. So those are some of the creative ways to position the home more effectively. Some of our best marketing ideas I get are outside of my industry. I tell realtors when I'm speaking on national stages, don't think like a real estate agent, think like a marketer.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, honestly, those videos are what got you here. I mean, not just professionally, but also to this show. Literally saw those videos like, this is a no-brainer.
We have a video coming up, and I want to tell you the story. We got a video coming up we're doing on a property on West Addison here in Chicago. It's listed for $3 million. They've been on the market with three or four realtors. None of the other realtors accentuated what I'm about to talk to you about. This house has got a bathroom with 30 twister dots in the tiles.
Yeah.
It's like the Milton Bradley game from 1966, 50-year anniversary this year. I'm actually accentuating that. I've taken pictures of it. We're doing videos. I sent a video out to Weird Al Yankovic, who did a song on the Twister game. And I did a video out to Hansborough, who bought the rights from Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
So other agents looked at this as a negative, and I am going to create tons of PR and buzz around this property about the bathroom. Now, I know 99 out of 100 buyers are going to probably rip that bathroom out,
sure,
but whether someone's talking good about the property or the bathroom or bad, they're talking about the property.
Absolutely.
And that's the first rule of thumb of marketing, is to get people's attention.
Any PR is good PR.
Hey, one of my mentors, Dan Kennedy, once said, whether someone's saying something good about you or bad about you, they're talking about you.
I've lived my entire life with that exact same sentiment, as you know. Thank you so much. Where do people go to find out how they can hire you and learn more about what you're doing and read your books and all these other things?
Sure. So for my consulting business, if the listenership is outside of Chicagoland, they can hire us. They can go to marketingluxurygroup.com, where we help affluent sellers and luxury brokers globally with the marketing strategy and consultative services. But if they're a homeowner here in the Chicagoland market, again, I have stuff in the North Shore, Barrington, Homer Glen, Hinsdale, Chicago. We represent sellers all throughout Illinois. They can go to my video blog, which is the Lafito Team .com. So the T-H-E, my last name, Lafito, L-A-F-I-D-O, team, T-E-A-M.com. And Scott, they can take a look at some of our lifestyle videos there. And I also put educational videos on that video blog for buyers and sellers.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mike, for coming in and stopping by today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You can stream this episode and more on the WGN Plus app or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.